Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. We're having a problem again with my switchboard. I'm not sure why they keep screwing up my switchboard, but they are. Unbelievable. Now, this is a very interesting show. I have a suggestion from one of my listeners. They wanted us to do a full show on love and relationships. Boy, I'm trying to figure out why my switchboard is not working again today. Although I have my other line connected, so I know that the show can be heard. I just can't see who's calling in. I wanted this to be an interactive show today. Did want to give some comments, but my switchboard is not working. I'm going to have to complain to somebody about this because I don't know if Big Brother's doing this or what. But there's no reason for the switchboard not to be working. I don't want to redo everything because at the last minute, I won't be able to have the show at all. So it's the second time that my switchboard is not working. Although I have my other line checked in, so I know that my voice is being heard. So you have to apologize again for you not being able to interact with me on this show. And this was a special show that I wanted to do from a suggestion from one of the callers this week. So I'm just going to run through the show. I can't log nobody in to talk, which is not good at all for me because I did really want this to be an interactive show this week. So hopefully I'll call Blog Talk Radio and find out what happened and we'll do better next week. I apologize. I'm not going to do about the switchboard. I don't have no control over just who's on or who's not on, okay? My name is Elohim, and we're doing a special show today. We're doing a full show, oh my goodness, on love and relationships. Well, I like to talk about love, but when they asked me to do a show on love, I said, oh boy, I got a Kool-Aid smile on my face because that's the biggest problem that we have all the way around. It's about love. It's just about love and mind control. The biggest problem that we have all the way around is love. You know, I was watching Scandal with my son earlier today, and I was explaining to him how the one person actually giving love to the president was Millie, and the other person was mostly about sex. And so the president was leaning more to her dealing with the sex, than Millie, who was actually giving him the love. Love was the act to make others feel good. And every act that she was committing was designed to make him feel good. Although she was trying to express herself as an intelligent female, you know. But he was letting the other female control him through the sex and emotional outlet rather than the actual love that was being given. This is a flip script because they don't want you to really know what love is, you know? And so we're going to start right at the beginning with this love thing. When you first meet somebody, you know, when you first get into a relationship and he's taking you out, he wants to go places, y'all doing things together, you're trying to cook for him, or you're going out to eat, and you're treating each other so wonderful and so much respect. And then once you start knocking boots, okay, the script flips. The social atmosphere that's run through the culture comes into the mix. Male and the female, he might want to dominate the female, so he wants to be in charge, or I'm the man, and you belong to me, and you do what I say, yada yada. This is what's taught through the so-called religious institutions. Well, they're not really religious institutions. They're manipulative and mind control institutions. That's what's going on. And I talk to people who follow the teachings of Jesus, and I listen to what they're saying. It's not what Jesus taught at all. listen to the Muslims and listen to what they're saying. It's not what Muhammad taught at all. Now, somebody has gotten in between the Muslims and Allah, given their version of what should be happening, and somebody has gotten in between the Christians and Jesus and given their version of what should be happening. That's why they got so many different denominations and churches, because there's so many different versions coming from the person giving you their version rather than them adhering to the version that was given by Muhammad and Jesus or Buddha or Hare Krishna, whatever they're doing, you know. And this has a lot to do with how we're loving each other, and this has a lot to do with how we're treating each other. You understand? Now, we have gotten away from our culture, and if we adhere to our culture, love makes sense. If we adhere to our culture, the Ten Commandments make sense. Our culture is reap what you sow. That's the actual culture. Now, they're giving you the culture, but they're saying it in a different way, you know? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. You see what I'm saying? That's reap what you sow. All that is reap what you sow. They're patting themselves on the back, getting a Pulitzer Prize, but telling you what's been given to you thousands of years ago to keep you from... and keep you on the right track and to teach you how to love each other. Love is the act that makes others feel good. That's reap what you sow. What you're doing to that person, you want done back to you. I understand. That's reap what you sow. That's your culture. That's science. See, they've taken your culture of reap what you sow and called it science. And when you look up science, oh, man, like a friend of mine, Brother Will, always say, that the word is like a spell, because you can't really grab what the word science means, okay? But read what you sow, that's part of your culture. You can understand it. You can see that. Because if you put two chemicals together, you're going to get a reaction. That's read what you sow. You put math on a reaction to control the reaction. That's read what you sow. With applied mathematics to control the reaction from reap what you sow. That's science. That's what we had all along. And once we got away from that culture, once we got away from our culture, everything just went crazy. And we don't have the relationships don't work. This is not working. Men don't know how to deal with the female. The female don't know how to deal with the men. You know, they have drawn you away from your culture for a reason, because they want to be able to control what you're doing. And they're controlling through your social media, through your churches, through the mosques, through the internet, through TV. All this is manipulating you into a false culture. And once you get into that false culture, they can get you to do anything, you know? Now, I'm doing a full version on love because it's important, because we're talking about black people. Well, actually, it goes across the board. It's not just black people, because this culture actually belongs to every man, woman, and child on the planet. I'm just going to come out straight with it. It belongs to every man, woman, and child on the planet. And once you got away from this culture, you know, that's where this conquer and kill and murder and take, because they've gotten away from the culture. Now, the culture that we're under now is the culture of, it's not reap what you sow. It's, I'm going to do something to you, and unless you're big and bad enough to stop me, you know what I mean, you're not going to be able to return what I'm doing to you to me, because my military is so strong that I can come over, rape your women, destitute your children, disrespect the men, take your land, take whatever I want, and if you don't have a military big enough to reap what you sow, to reap what I have sown, to make me reap what I have sown, I'm going to get away with it. And this is the culture that you're under now. This is how this country got started. They didn't come over here with a reap what you sow. You understand? They came over here and said, "Well, I got the military, so I'm not going to have to reap what I'm sowing. I can take what I want, and ain't nothing you can do about it." This is the culture that we're under right now. Take what you want, and if you're strong enough, hey, you know, everybody goes through school. We talk about the bully, but the bullies is in every school, because this is the culture. And what does this have to do with love? If you're not under your culture, you won't be able to love each other properly. This is why the men are not taking care of their families. This is why the women aren't taking care of their families, because they don't really, they can't see, you know, what actual love is, because it's not being taught to them by the culture. Now, when you first, like I said, we're going back to the beginning, because we're going to do a full show on love so you can really see what's going on. A lot of times when a man do love the woman, okay, and not pushing her towards a sexual outlet thing, that's a it becomes a problem for her, because she's dealing with the sexual outlet thing as love, and that's not love. Okay, I mean, it's good to have sex. It feels great. It was designed that way so that you can make the babies. Without the babies, we don't exist. We will cease to exist. That's why engaging in that type of activity is so good. It's meant to be great, you know, but that's not where the actual love comes in at, you see. When you hook up or you get married, you get engaged with living life together. Living life together is not loving each other. That's living life together. Who's going to the store? Who will take the kids, children over here? Who's going to drive the car? Will I have a car? Who's paying the bill? Who's going to walk the dog tomorrow? That's living life together. But when you're living life together, right, you can't get so caught up in living life together that you forget about the love. Our love is to act and make others feel good. You do things for the person that's just for the person, you know. You watch some of these TV shows where the guy go out on a woman's birthday and buy a set of tools for himself and give it to her as a birthday present. That ain't love. That's manipulation. You see what I'm saying? You buy things just for her. That only for her. And when you're on your way home, you know what kind of candy she likes, what kind of cookies she eats, what kind of ice cream she enjoys, you know. And if you know that stuff is not in the house, on your way home, stop at the store and bring it. Because those are comfort foods for her. Those are things that she eats, you know. Maybe the children don't like Rocky Rolls, but she likes Rocky Rolls. So that's what you bring home. You're constantly bringing the love to her. Follow what I'm saying? And she's constantly bringing the love to you. And she's out. She knows what's not there. Maybe you might like peanut butter and jelly, and no jelly in the house. So she's going to stop by and pick up the jelly because she knows that's what you like. All these little things, okay, that you learn about the person, how to do things to make them feel good, that's the love. This is what you have to keep going on. I mean, a lot of times paying the bills get in the way of love, you know. I mean, they ain't got no money. So, hey, I can't play with him, you know. He's rude. But this guy has so much love for you. Try to do so much love, although he broke, you know. And see, now, here's where we have another problem. Well, I'm a man. What makes you a man? Who decides in your culture what a man is? In your culture, well, I'm a woman. Who decides in your culture what a woman is? You know what I'm saying? See, if you're under your proper culture, the relationship between a man and a female is equal because of what you sow. You don't want to dominate her, and you don't want her to dominate him. You want to have an equal relationship where the things that you do in life down the middle. Follow what I'm saying? You make up some kind of agreement or whatever you have to do when you're living life together, if you're living together. But the love, see, you don't have to make up an agreement for that. That's supposed to come automatic. You're supposed to always be thinking about your mate, what they want, what they need, what makes them feel good, what they don't have, what I can get to make them feel better. You know what I'm saying? Thinking just about him, her. Now you're loving that person. Because when you first got together, this is what you were doing. And you attach your emotions to those actions. Once you attach your emotions to those actions, when you first met each other and everything was going so great, that's what you wanted all the time. But when the script flipped, and the relationship become about living a life together and not about the love, all of a sudden you're saying, this person don't know me. They don't know nothing about me. You know, what's going on here? Who is this guy? Who is this girl? You know, they call it the other shoe drops. Oh, my goodness, I had no idea this person was like that. This is 1 year into the relationship. You're finding out this is somebody totally different than what I met. And a lot of people, now this is a mistake, stay in a relationship hoping that they can get back to where it was when they first met. You know, follow what I'm saying? But it can't go back to that because the person that you're dealing with don't know that that was the love. They're thinking love is something else, you know? So he's running around, sleeping all over town, trying to find a good sexual partner when you're loving him to death right there at home. Follow what I'm saying? The whole thing is actually gotten out of control because you're so far away from your culture. See, that's why so many of our children are in jail, because you're away from your culture. Back in the day, I'm talking going back before the European came into Africa, so I'm just using these terms because these are terms we're familiar with. When the European came into Africa, there was no jails. Why were there no jails? Because we were under our culture, a cosmological culture, not a land-based culture. Our culture is not designed for no particular place on the planet. I remember when I was young and in school, they was telling me about when they went to the Eskimos. You could leave something down and nobody would steal it. Eskimos, they had no jails. No jails. The Eskimos didn't have any jails. Nobody needed no jails because you were under your culture, reap what you sow. Your children knew that whatever they did, it was going to come back to them. Your children knew that. So they didn't do things that they didn't want done to them. Now we get into the reap what you sow culture of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have nothing to do with the way they're teaching religion right now. That's not a Hebrew thing. That's a cultural thing that goes back before Jesus, before Moses, before all of it. It goes back before Khufu and Sennefer. It goes back before Egypt, when Egypt was just a swamp. Okay? We had those commandments. Those commandments have been with us for, well, not just hundreds of thousands of years, but for millions of years. Because those commandments were part of a social realization or a sociable makeup of reap what you sow. That's what it's for. Don't kill. You don't want nobody to kill you. Don't steal. You don't want nobody to steal from you. You don't steal from nobody else. Reap what you sow. That was part of our culture. They tied it into religion to manipulate and control you, thinking that, oh, well, that's part of the Hebrew tradition. No. That's part of your culture. The problem is you don't know what your culture is. I apologize again because my keep, I don't know who's calling or what's going on because the switchboard is just blank. And I don't know, Big Brother's trying to hold me up, but he can't because I got my line on, so I know the line is open. And those that are calling in, I know you can hear what I'm saying. I just have to apologize because I did want this to be an interactive show because this I'm doing this show today by request because we really don't know what's going on. We really don't understand. When I say understand, I mean stand under the information given to us by our ancestors, by our culture. We're so far away from our culture, and this is why we're having a problem. This is why we can't get together. We can't get together as a tribe. Which they're calling a family, and the family is not the tribe. I'm just saying, I'm just reversing some of the stuff here. I use the term family because we're programmed with it the way that they have given it to us. But the family is the economic structure that you have to take care of your tribe. See what I'm saying? If you watch TV, when they talk about family, they don't go into the cousins and distant cousins and the aunts and great aunts. They don't go into all that. They stick with mama, a couple of babies, mama, the children, and maybe one cousin. That's it. You never see no more of that. You never, on television, you never show that whole diaspora where everybody's hooking up, doing things together. Because they don't want you to go back to that. That's your tribe. See what I'm saying? Under the tribal culture of reap what you sow, you know, they had some tribes that was as big as the city of Philadelphia. They want to just a little few people when they talk about the tribe. We're talking about huge groups of people working together for each other. Not one person trying to dominate or take over or vote in this. Well, the democracy, republic, I want to say democracy, the republic didn't come in until Anama, when he united Upper and Lower Kemet. He's the first republic. A republic is a war machine. Go back and find out when we had the first professional soldiers. See what I'm saying? That's when the republic began. Because we never had professional soldiers. The people that were growing the food and stuff would come out and fight each other. That's where armies came from. That showed you, that was in part of the Bible, too. Because I always, I'm a Bible bumper. I know how powerful the book is. Abraham. That's where Abraham got it. So Abraham's army come from the tribe. Okay? When his nephew Lot was taken, where did he get an army from? It wasn't. He started out with just him, Sarah, and his nephew. All of a sudden, he got an army to go attack somebody to get his nephew. Where'd the army come from? The army came from the tribe. And if you ain't got no tribe, that means the village is missing. If the village is missing, where's your army? Where's your force? People can do whatever they want to do to you. You know what I'm saying? All this, I'm not getting away from the love issue, but all this comes through your culture. Once you go back to your culture, everything will begin to make sense. Everything on the planet, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything will begin to make sense once you go back to your culture. Now, they're taking the word sin. Oh, boy. They got to think, oh, a sin is a bad thing. He's a sinner. Listen, under your culture, sin is not good or evil. It's the results you get from your actions. If you do bad actions, you're going to get bad results. See what I'm saying? The result is sin, but it's not good. Sin is not good or bad. I'm not dropping something that you ain't heard before, but I'm going to bring it, okay? Sin is not good or bad. Homosexuality. What's the sin part of homosexuality? No babies. Two women ain't making no babies, and two men ain't making no babies. And if we pursued that particular culture, we would cease to exist. So the sin, some people are not homosexuals, but they just don't want children. They say, well, I don't want no babies. See what I'm saying? So not having babies is not a bad thing if that's what you're trying to do. But from a cultural standpoint, so many people going to the homosexual type of relationships, It's detrimental to the culture of reap what you sow, because when you sow sex, you're supposed to reap children. That's how it goes. You follow what I'm saying? When you sow sex, you're supposed to reap children. If you're sowing sex and ain't reaping no children, see what I'm saying? Well, there's a problem with that. Okay, that's what they call breaking the rules, but it's not a rule that you have to have children, okay? But when you have sex, you have the children in mind, so you plan for the children when you engage in that type of relationship. When you engage in that type of activity, you plan for the children because you know they're coming, because sex is good. I mean, I can bear witness to that. Sex is good. And when it's that good and you have it so much, the babies is coming. So you plan for the babies because you know they're coming. And, you know, and all this, the reason why we're so outside of everything, we're so screwed up as families, as groups, and everything, is because we're operating outside of our culture, okay? There's no African culture. There's no Haitian culture. There's no Hindu culture. It don't work that way. There's one culture for everybody, and that culture is reap what you sow. And when the great God, I'm talking about all the men, women, and children on the planet, if we go back to our actual cosmological culture, this planet turns into a paradise. Because the madness that's going on with these leaders out here, so-called conquerors, what they call, they ain't nothing but thieves and thugs. The conquerors is another word for a thief and a thug, okay? That's all it is. From Alexander the barbarian, Alexander the murderer, that's what I call it, okay? Because he was so far outside of our culture, okay, that it just the murder and the killing and the mayhem. You go to the First World War, the Second World War, the Spanish War. This culture that they're bringing is a culture of criminal activity. So, yes, the people that are running Washington, they're criminals. The people that are running most of these countries, they're criminals. I'm just telling it straight out where I like it is. They're criminals, thugs, murderers, robbers, okay? And this is their culture, and they're proud of this culture. You saw what Trump said when he was pulling down a statue. Well, they're trying to erase our culture. That's their culture. Well, George Washington was a slave owner. That's right. So when everybody talks about some founding father, I'm going to call him my founding father. He's a slave owner, and I'm a black man. You know what I mean? Yo, you can't, don't. And they're teaching your children that a slave owner is your father. You know what I mean? Now, some of the slave owners did have relations with slaves. So some of them were your fathers, you know? But a founding father, somebody that's supposed to have found something good for you and turned you into a slave, it don't work that way. That goes against our culture. See what I'm saying? If you're teaching your children a culture, when they're sitting in school and these people telling them about so-called great people who were murderers and killers and robbers and thieves, you're saying to yourself, that don't, you know, I don't see that as a great person. I don't see that as a great man, you know? But until you get control of your children to literally take them back into your culture, they're going to have trouble with relationships. Men are not going to know how to treat the females, and the females are not going to know how to treat the men, because you're so far outside of your culture that actual love for each other is almost foreign. It's just so strange, and people are running around, oh, maybe one day I'm going to fall in love. You don't fall in love. You attach your emotions, person is committing on you. That's where the love comes in. And you say, oh, they treat me so good, they treat me so nice, and you want more of that treatment. You want more of that person making you feel good. And this is supposed to go on every day of your life. Every day of your life with your mate, it's supposed to be just wonderful. I know you're going to get stressed out with the bill. That's why we teach about the 50% budget, so we don't get caught up in the madness with the with the debt. You know, we're going to the 50% budget on maybe next week. I think we did economics last week. Next week we're talking about health, but. This is why we talk about the 50% budget, because most of the problems that keep the couple away from the love is financial. Most of the problems is financial. You're living outside of your means, and it's too difficult to live like that. You have to rein in what you're spending. You can't be listening to these TV people, you know, I need me a Mercedes-Benz. You're trying to get a Mercedes-Benz, and all you got is Volkswagen money? Something's wrong with that picture, you know? You can't be, what they call it, back in the day, they used to call it chasing the Joneses, trying to keep up with the Joneses. You can't keep up with the Joneses. You got to keep up with the Benjamins. I'm talking about keeping up with what's in your pocket and not worrying about with the Joneses. The Joneses got more in their pocket than you do, so they can afford to do more. So don't be ashamed because you can't afford to do more if you're living in a relationship where there's plenty of love and the family and the children and all that. Man, it don't get no better than that, you know? So you might not have the best of everything. I think they made a song of that. We may not have the best of everything, you know? Because back when I was coming up, all the songs was about love. It was all about love because that's what we were about. We were about loving each other, caring for each other. That's what was going on. When I was little, we never locked our doors. Our doors was open 24 hours a day because in the neighborhood, it was all black people in the neighborhood that I lived in, and nobody would come in your house and steal anything because we were kind of close to that culture without even knowing it back then, you know? Nobody would disrespect an elder. You know, you see a grown-up coming and say, oh, man, here come my belt, here come my belt. Because, you know, if that adult disrespects you, they're going to go and tell your parents, you know? We were in our culture, but they have broken down our culture so bad that we don't know what the culture is, and that's the problem. We have to go back to our roots. We have to go back to our culture, and that's very important. Now, here's what they're doing. They're taking you away from your village. Without the village, you don't have any power. So you have to get back in there and try to activate your village. But you can't activate, I shouldn't say can't, but it's very difficult to activate your village unless you're teaching the children your culture, which is reap what you sow. Then the children begin to know how to treat each other when they're growing up. And when they get adults, they're going to treat each other better. And your children will never see the inside of a jail, part of their culture. Okay? They're not going to mistreat or abuse nobody. It's not a part of their culture. Because their cultures reap what they sow. And they know that if they do that, it's going to come back to them. Cosmologically, it's going to come back to them. But now that brings us to another point. Back to men and women, you know. Somebody decided what a man is supposed to be and how he's supposed to act. Who makes those decisions? Somebody decided what a woman's supposed to be and how she's supposed to act. Who made those decisions? Who decided what's men's work and what's woman's work? Who's making these decisions for you? Okay? And if somebody's making these kind of decisions for you, that means you don't know who you are. The Bible tell you who you are. You are all God's children of the Most High. Okay? That's what the Bible says. And they try to do a spin on that. Some of the groups try to do a spin on that because they don't want you to come into the reality of who you are. That means nobody's in control of you but you. Now they're flipping that. Talking about God is in control. Well, if you're God, you know, it says in the Bible you're God. Don't get mad. I didn't write it. It says in the Bible that you're God. And if God is in control, and you're God, who's in control? You're in control. You're in control of you and your actions through reap what you sow. And if you're only sowing that which you want to come back to you, your life is going to be great. Your life is going to be wonderful. It's like you want to be a lawyer, but you're sitting in medical school miserable. You know, come out of medical school and go to law school. There's nothing wrong with law school. I mean, there's nothing wrong with medical school, but you want to be a lawyer. That's what I understand. Go towards what you want and what makes you more comfortable and what you like to do. And when you're out there working, it won't seem like work because you're loving what you're doing. This is what you want, you know. You're reaping. You're trying to reap what you're sowing. If I want to be a doctor, then I got to sow the work of a doctor. I got to go to medical school and go for all the changes that doctors go through to get there, okay? What you teach your children is that you got a circle. Sit in the middle of the circle and watch as things go around. They're going to come around and around and around, and you prepare yourself for what you see on the outside of the circle. And when you're ready for it, you reach up and grab it, and you'll be able to hold on to it. If you get on the outside of the circle chasing what you want, you just be going around and around and around, and you never get what you want. You wake up, look in the mirror one day, and say, boy, who's this old person looking at me, and how long, what have I been doing all these years? I don't have what I want because you've been on the outside of the circle chasing it rather than in the middle of the circle preparing for it. Because if you're prepared for what you want and you reach up and grab it, you will be able to hold on to it. You will be able to keep it. Same thing in relationships. You have to prepare for the relationship that you want. And then you watch, and when you see the person that fits what you want, that's the person you grab. You follow what I'm saying? And the parents, see, this is where we had an advantage back in the day, you know? They say, oh, parents, marriage. No. Think about this. The parents know you. They know what kind of person you are, and they know what kind of female that would fit you. So, yeah, when you were sort of young, they picked the female for you, or they picked the male for you because the parents knew you better than you knew yourself. And a lot of the arranged marriage, it wasn't political. Now, political arranged marriage, that gets crazy. But if there's not politically arranged marriage, but marriages that are arranged just for the two children, you know, especially if they both growing up under the same culture, read what you sow, they know that's going to be a good woman, that's going to be a good man. When they hook you up, 90% of the times the two stay hooked up. That's just how it was back in the day. You don't have to believe me. Go check. Google this stuff up. It's on the internet. Go look it up and see. You can, and you'll see that that the relationships are on a decline. I don't care if you're in the church or not. The relationships are still on a decline because nobody is taking you back to your culture. Once you go back to your culture, everything will begin to make sense. And your children will be happy because you won't be beating on them to get them to do stuff, you know. You'll be training them under their culture, and they know that their actions, there's repercussion to their actions. Well, when they're little, you might not use the term repercussion. Well, you can, because children are smart, you know. Whatever language you're using around them, they're going to learn that language and know what it means, you know. So if you're going to, you know, I'm just doing a full version on love, culture, because it all ties in together. It all ties in together. Like I did on, I said on the last show when we were talking about love, I'm watching Enemy of the State with Will Smith, right? He's in the store buying a bra for his wife, and the lady asked him what size. He don't know what size. He got to look at somebody to see what size. The man playing with these things every night and don't know what size they are. See what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about, love. Take a woman. Now, women know more about love than men. I'm sorry to say it, but they do. Take a woman, give her some money, go dress her husband. He'll be sharp as a tack. Everything will fit like a glove. Give a man the same money. Man, he won't know what to buy. He had to call somebody. Hey, mom, man, I got to buy clothes for this woman. I don't know what's that. Petite, long, but I don't know nothing about these clothes. Because you're not engaged in the love, see? You're engaged in the living together. As, and using that as love, but it's not. You're living together, you know, who's paying the bills and all that kind of stuff. That has nothing to do with love, see? That has to do with living life together. And you have to keep that separate. This is very important. That's the most important thing I can tell people who are in relationships. You have to keep living life together separate from the love. You have to keep the love coming. Before you was living life together, you were treating each other a certain way when you're trying to hook up. That's where you need to stay at. You need to stay there all of your lives because that is the actual love. At that point, you were loving each other. This is before you attach your emotions to those actions. Now, once you attach your emotions to those actions, then you become emotionally alive. Oh, I love him. No, you love actions. And the actions that he was bringing or she was bringing, that gave you the reaction to put your emotions on that. And once you attach your emotions to that, then you wanted to stay there because it felt so good being just being around the person, thinking about the person because of what they do and how they act towards you, you know? So we have to go back to your culture. If you're going to have successful relationships, you have to start embracing your culture. Your culture is reap what you sow. And the Ten Commandments is what you teach your children in relationship to your culture. Not whether you're Muslim or Christian or Hebrew. That don't have nothing to do with your culture. All these names they done hooked up behind the people that came through that know how to treat people. That knew what love was, and they treated people out of this love. And they done made groups and names after all these doggone people. But the teachings have nothing to do with those people per se because they didn't make up none of this stuff. All this stuff was handed down to you hundreds and thousands of years ago, okay? If you want some more evidence of this, go back to go back to the culture of Lemuria. Google it up. Look it up. It's on the internet. It'll tell you what kind of society they had. Nobody paid for food and all that kind of stuff, you know, because it wasn't necessary. They didn't have a barter system. You know, without a barter system, oh, my goodness, you know. But that was part of your culture. That was part of the culture. Reap what you sow, see. If you're going to engage in a type of love, that's going to last for many, 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 many years, you know, And you're going to raise your children where your children are not getting caught up into the jails. You have to go back to your culture. Your culture is what you sow, which is science, okay? Take the term science and put reap what you sow on it, and that's your culture, because your culture is based on science. And science is based on the knowledge of mathematics, because you have to control the you have to control the reactions, you have to control the output of what you're doing. And it goes through everything. For they got this DVD out. I watched it a couple of times. Oh, the greatest secret in the world. Ain't no secret. It's read what you sow. Think, read what you sow, and go back and listen to The Greatest Secret. All it is them giving your culture back to you because you don't know about it, you know? There's mental read what you sow, physical read what you sow, spiritual read what you sow. All of this culminates together to make your culture so great and so powerful. This is why you rule the world, because you rule through justice. You rule through compassion. You rule through, you rule through, if you taking care of a group of people under the culture of reap what you sow, they're going to love you, because you're not going to do anything that don't make them feel good. You're not going to treat them the way that you don't want to be treated. You see what I'm saying? That's reap what you sow. In this culture now, I tell people, well, I don't want some people to treat me the way they want to be treated, because some people hate themselves coming through this culture that we're under, this culture of thugs and killers and murders and robbers, you know. People hate themselves. They taking drugs, they drinking liquor, they make drinking liquor like it's a good common thing. Liquor ain't food. So why are you drinking liquor? You're going to bar, you're buying your beer and your Daniels and all that kind of stuff. For what? You know? It ain't food. It's not nutritious. You know what I mean? If you're going to sow non-nutritious things into your body, you're going to reap that madness. The cancer and the sickness, all this is coming from what you're eating, what you're drinking. And those of you who are sick and don't feel good, I look up a brother by the name of Dr. Sabian, okay? They killed him this year or the first of last year, but they killed him. This brother was curing everything under the sun, you know, because he's saying that it's not a whole lot of diseases. It's just one disease, and it's all based on mucus. You start cutting back on your mucus, and a lot of diseases that you have will go away. When you get a cold, when you get pneumonia, all this stuff is based on mucus, you know. And this is some of the things that he said. So it's all come down to read what you sow. And if you're not healthy, you know, that has a lot to do with how you're treating each other, too. If you're not healthy and you're sick and all that, you know, that becomes a problem in the relationship, you know, because the person wants to do as much for you as you can, but if you're sickly and can't do this and can't do that, it changes the nature of the relationship, too. But the person loves you, they'll stick by you, they'll take care of you, through sickness and health and whatever, they'll be there, you know. If the love is strong, if you've been treating each other pretty good, that person will be there. They're not going to go nowhere, you know. And but you need to, watch what you're eating as well, you know. So right now what I like to do is just take a little pause here for a minute. And there's a couple of shows that come on that I kind of watch, I kind of listen to, and I would like to plug you into them. And also I apologize because I really wanted to get some feedback today. I wanted to shoot comments today on what's, you know, how you feel about what we're talking about. But I have no switchboard. It's just the strangest thing. I know Big Brother, so it ain't really strange. And the information I'm giving you, boy, the Big Brother, I want you to have this information, I'm telling you. There's a show that comes on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. She's a powerful sister. She has some pretty good guests on her. She gives out some pretty good information, okay? She calls Sister Tiara. This is Tiara's show. It's Tuesday through Friday at 6 p.m. To 8. Okay, the call-in number is 917-889-8059. This is the Tahela Show. Okay, I'm gonna give the number again because you can't hit one and say, "Well, give it to me again." 917 889-8059. It's just Tahara, okay? That's on from Tuesday to Friday from 6 to 8, all right? Also, a friend of mine, his name is Mac. He has a show called A Legacy of the Nation, and that comes on Saturday at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., okay? The call-in number for that show is 319-527-6199, okay? Now, the people who show up, like, they don't have to actually call. Sometimes they can't, they might not be able to call in on some Sundays, but I want to get that message out anyway, you know what I mean? His name is Max, called Legacy of the Nation, and he's on with his son. Now, that's good. Him and his son is doing something on the radio. That number is 319-527-6199. That's Legacy of the Nation, okay? And also, we got a sister, Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube, and she called it the spoken word, and she's very well spoken. And the last show she had, I thought was pretty good. In fact, I gotta go all her little spoken word shows. So you go on YouTube and just look up under the spoken word, okay? And you'll be able to catch her on YouTube and listen to some of the spoken word. And I think she has some numbers on there, because I don't have her numbers right now. Maybe I'll get them the next time I go on Sister Tiara's show, and she'd be on her show too. And I'll get my card and give you those numbers, okay? Now, I have this is the Block Talk Radio, and Elohim speaks every Sunday, so. And now there's like over 50 archive shows that you can go back and listen to over a period, under Block Talk. Just go on Block Talk Radio, Elohim Christ, and all my shows will come up. You can listen to them, you can download them, listen to them anytime you want. So if you miss a show, you can always go back and get it, okay? Now, the call-in number for my show on Sunday at 3 o'clock is 516-453-9230. That's the call-in number for this show here. And you can spread the word, tell people about it on Sunday. Now, I give you a different piece because what they're telling you coming through European, okay, they're not giving you what you need to take you back into your power. They don't want you to be powerful no more because, remember, I'm talking to black people now, we used to rule the world. Now, they got it set up to look like they're ruling the world right now, but they're not. They're not. That's hype, okay? They got some pretty sophisticated weapons out there, you know? But they're still not ruling things. They're doing some things through economics that make it seem like they're ruling things. But it's that big gun they got that make people back down a little bit, you know, because nobody brings a gun to a knife fight. You just don't do it, you know? So so that's what's going on out there, okay? We only have we're only got about 15 minutes left. Or is that? We got less than that. Oh, my goodness. Show went by too fast. I'm going to have to do a two-hour show or something. But it goes by so quick because there's so much to talk about because there's so much that this culture is not giving you, okay? So much that you don't know. You know, you got all these groups talking about power and power and status. The only status that a criminal and a thug respects is your military status. So if you're not putting yourself in a position to hook up with some type of military situation where you got some security on you and your family, it's going to be a long run, you know. And those of you who are into the struggle, who are trying to gain your freedom, trying to get freedom through courts and all that, you know, don't give up. I know it's difficult, but you got to remember, the Europeans 800 years to get out from under yoke. So now that they're back in, now that they have some control, they're not going to give it up so easily. So it's not all about the fighting it's not so much about the military conflict that's going to really get you your power back. It's about your culture. You engage in your cultural love. That's why when Yahshua said, love your enemies, those who spitefully use you, you said, you got to be crazy. This Negro's out of his mind. But when you understand what love is, and if you treat your enemy only in a way to make him feel good, sooner or later he won't be your enemy no more. He'll become your friend. Once you understand, once you can see what love is, okay? Now, I just wanted to get in touch on a little bit of this because Brother Mac brought this up last week at the last few minutes. I only had a couple of minutes. I couldn't really get into it. But he mentioned about what was going on with the Starbucks thing, right? And I wonder how come we don't have our own coffee shops. Well, last week I was talking about mind control. There's atrocities going on in this country against black people every single day, all right? Yet, the only one that we're talking about is the one that the 1% gives us. See, we're only talking about Starbucks guys because the 1% put that in our minds. That's mind control, see? They're manipulating your thoughts, okay? Now, who benefits mostly by the information, the way they put it out? Not two guys that were being harassed. Starbucks. All the free advertising. They got millions of dollars of free advertising because they harassed two guys in the store. Millions of dollars of free advertising. Yeah? This is what Trump's doing. Trump's dominating the news with this crazy stuff he's doing because he's getting free advertising, free media. He ain't got to pay for this stuff. When he do something crazy and everybody talking about it, it don't cost him nothing. He dominated the news cycle with who's hearing about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and other people. So, Oprah Winfrey's thinking about throwing her hat in the presidency run. You're not hearing nothing about these people. All you're hearing about is Donald Trump and what he's talking about. Dominating the news cycle. And the thing about Starbucks, they 1% gave you that information to manipulate your mind, okay? Now Starbucks is on your mind. Have you heard anything about Starbucks until it came out? Half of us don't even go to Starbucks. Most of us don't go to Starbucks. I'm talking about most of us. Most black people, they don't be hanging around at Starbucks. The coffee is too high for one thing. It's too expensive. You get in the car, coffee at McDonald's for $1, they charge you $3 a cup. You know we ain't hanging around no Starbucks. But now Starbucks is on our mind. Mind control, deletion. You see what I'm saying? So you have to be careful what you're responding to on the TV, the internet, radio, and stuff like that there. Because the 1% control all these venues. The 1% control what I'm talking about now. This is Blog Talk Radio. The 1% control this. See what I'm saying? That's why I ain't got no switchboard. You know, wait, this guy's talking too much here. We got to do things to slow him down. Okay? I signed in the same way I normally sign in, but there's no switchboard. See what I'm saying? But that's not stopping the listeners who are calling in, and I appreciate that. And I, once again, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. You know, you let me know that I'm not here by myself, that that somebody is trying to reverse the negative fall that we're going through right now in the black community and in this country, okay? Now, I just mentioned a little bit of mind control. I don't want to go too much into mind control. I got about 8 minutes left. But I do want to thank you again for calling in and listening to the show. And I'm going to call Block Talk Radio and find out why that's the second time it happened to my switchboard and why I don't have a switchboard like I'm supposed to, you know? But what I do want to say is that you are, without a shadow of a doubt, just like the Bible says, you are all gods, okay? And we're talking about the great things that Jesus did. Let's deal with what Jesus said about what he did. He that eateth of me will become a son indeed, and greater works than I did will you do. See what I'm saying? He didn't make himself no big mucky muck, okay? Because he knew that everybody was equal to him. He knew that. And he not only said that you were equal to him, he said you can do greater works. But you got to deal with his teachings. See, when he said he to eat it for me, he got to learn what he's talking about. And what I encourage people to do is when you go into that book, right, because you're not getting it the way you're supposed to be getting it, all right? I usually have a Bible verse set up, but this is something I didn't because I wanted to go fully into love, you know. When you are dealing with treating somebody, learning how to treat somebody, treat people the way Jesus treated the people, and you'll be better off. Treat people the way Muhammad treated the people, you'll be better off. Treat people the way Hare Krishna, the way Buddha, those people that came with these wonderful messages, they treated people a certain way. That's why people love them so much, okay? There was no pretense with these people. They just helped everybody equally. You know, when a tax collector came and said, look, yo, I'm paraphrasing now, yo, Jesus, I got a problem with my servant. he's sick, and I've heard about you and what you do, and I want you to help him out. He said, no problem. I'll come to your house. It was no problem for him because he know that it's the sick that need the doctor, not the well. And he was here to heal. Jesus came to heal, so he had to be around the sick, the people that needed him the most. So he wasn't sitting up there with mayors and governors and rulers and nothing. He was down there with the people, the lepers and the people that were sick and dying. That's who he hung out with. And he tell you, he that helped the least of my people have helped me. You see what I mean? Because he identified. He identified with those guys sleeping on the street, the guys you walk by every day and won't help. He identified with those people. That's what I understand. I'm just saying, he was a phenomenal person, you know, and I love what they said, what they say he said. I know, we know he didn't write none of those books, but I know I like what they say he said because he was just a phenomenal guy. And I like Jesus, you know. I mean, that he's my boy. I shouldn't say it like that. I'll send some people because they think Jesus is God, and he is a God. But he also knew that you was a God too. You see what I'm saying? So he knew that you was just as great and just as good as he was if you follow the teachings. But you got to follow what he taught to do what he did, you know. And you can do what he did. All right, now I got about I got about 4 minutes left. I just want to say that the greatest and the most powerful person on the planet is what you see in that mirror, and there's nothing on the planet that you cannot accomplish if you put your mind to it, because there's nothing greater than you in that mirror. You know what I'm saying? But you're not greater than anything that you don't see in the mirror. The people you see every day, you're no greater than them, and they no greater than you. Don't put people on pedestals, and don't put you on a pedestal, okay? Walk in equality. And brothers, I know what this culture is telling you, but you're not in charge of your woman. You're not in charge of that female. You're not her master. You're her equal, and she's your equal. And you have to live life on an equal basis if you're going to reap the benefits of the glory that you can do together. But you have to do it on an equal basis, you know? You know, I mean, think about it. You're talking about, well, we don't have the right to vote. All women just got the right to vote yesterday. These men didn't they didn't even let their wives vote. You feel what I'm saying? These guys, they wasn't dealing with our culture. This is a strange culture. When anytime you're voting and prohibit your wife who's taking care of you, looking out, stop her from voting, they got to protest and walk up and down the street just to, what they call the women's suffrage movement, although the sister started that. I know all that. I'm not going into that particular dialogue right now, but I'm just giving you an understanding of somebody made the conscious decision to go against our culture, which is really what you sow. And they put women in a category that they shouldn't be in. You know what I mean? I mean, no woman on the planet is less than any man on the planet. And they put men in a category where they shouldn't be. Like, they're so lofty and so great. And yo, it's quality. I think in the last days, there'll be no bond, Greek, no something. Everybody will be equal until Lord when Jesus comes back. You know, but that's a whole other story, too. But if you're going to love each other, your acts, your actions, that's the actual love, okay? I'm going to say it again. Your actions toward each other, that's the actual love. And don't make your mate jealous just to see how they're going to react. Don't do that, because that causes the person pain, all right? That causes the person pain. You do not want to cause your mate any kind of pain whatsoever, not coming from you. Because every minute that they're around you, they're supposed to feel good. And every minute you're around them, you're supposed to feel good. But this culture has to be taught again, because the thugs and criminals that are running everything have knocked us, have taken us away from our culture. I got about 10 seconds left. And once again, I want to thank everybody that's called and listened in. I got a few texts coming through. I'll read them once I get off the line. I want to thank you so much. I apologize again about the switchboard because I really wanted to hear what you're saying about the relationships and the families and all that. I really wanted to hear that this week. The person that requested this show, I hope that I was able to fulfill some of the information that you needed to help you out there with your relationship and what's going on with the people and the relationships around you, you know, because you're out there dealing with people. And from what I know of you, you love people and you love dealing with people and doing things. So hopefully I helped just a little bit. And once again, I want to thank you so much for calling in. And this is Elohim Speaks. I love you. Stay strong. See you next week. How you going to put in a guy to a man, a woman, a president, queen? But when did you know, step down from being a guy to a king or a queen? Who, by the way, who makes these doggone decisions? Who makes these doggone decisions? Chop it out. If I don't need to pay you, even if that's not good for yourself, if you put your culture and what they're saying in this book, you'll know what's good and what's not good. You know what comes with the interpreter. What the interpreter got wrong. Go back to your culture. Go back to your roots. Read what you saw, that's your culture. And begin teaching that culture to children. See, you want somebody to say to me, experience that, walk in the forms. But sure it is. He was a humble person. He didn't make himself. Is he a God? Yeah, he's a God. Somebody say Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. I don't know that. That's all the God. And I can do the same work. I can do the same work that it is my living. Saying, but you can't see it. You can't. But he did. Treat people very much. How much you? What do you believe to? What's our Christmas to? Because we don't know how to treat each other. Right now, we don't know how to treat each other. Go ahead and see how Jesus treated the people. A lot of people sitting in this church, they ain't not treating you the way Jesus treated you. They're not even acting the way Jesus would be acting. It's because they don't really hate the way Jesus treated you. Come here with it. Thank you. Sure.